Edgar Loudermilk has a brand new band, Edgar Loudermilk Band, featuring Jeff Autry, one of my all-time favorite guitar players, and has released a new single, and soon to be followed up by a new album. So we thought it would be a good idea to talk to Edgar about his career a little bit, flesh that out, great experience he had growing up in a bluegrass environment, all kinds of bands that he's been members of and learned the music and the business part of the music from, now fronting his own band out there on the road and recording. So we're going to have a nice chat with Edgar Loudermilk. I guarantee you're going to enjoy hearing about his experience and the fact that he has a new band, and he's pretty excited about it. Brand new album coming out, I believe, in the spring. Will be on the heels of a pretty strong Stalking Horse single entitled My Kentucky Home. Coming up right now, as promised, a nice chat with Edgar Loudermilk. I think you're going to enjoy this, so get your pencils out and do some homework and just pay attention to all of the different experience that Edgar has had and what he's doing right now. You're going to enjoy it. Well, I'm really happy to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass a favorite of mine for a lot of years, and when we get to talk to him, you'll understand why. Edgar Loudermilk, how you doing, Edgar?
I'm doing great, Steve, and it's good to be back here on Unreal Bluegrass with you and chatting with you tonight.
Oh, listen.
So thank you so much.
Everybody out there that's listening, of course, right now we're picking up right now because you have a new single out, and we want to talk about that, and we will talk about My Kentucky Home, which is a great song. I've played it couple of times. You have a new album coming out on the heels of that, but let's let everyone know, in case they've forgotten, if they're that silly, the history, a little bit of the history of Edgar Loudermilk, why you've been doing this with at the level you have for so long. Let's give them just a little taste of that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I come up like a lot of bluegrassers. I grew up in the North Georgia Hills, and we had a family band. I grew up in our house. My grandpa was a fiddle player, my dad was a banjo player, and I had an uncle that was a guitar player. So I grew up in a family band, and I remember I started around the age of 9, and I was playing an upright bass, and I can remember opening at a festival that's been around for a long time called Shoal Creek Music Park in the hills of North Georgia. I remember opening for the Osborne Brothers and being on cloud 9 with the big Osborne Brothers.
Yeah, oh,
Bobby
yeah.
Osborne was just a hero. And, so a lot of those brother duet, I grew up singing harmony to that with my family, and we were distantly related to the Leuven Brothers.
That's right.
So we sung a lot of Leuven Brothers music, and all through my teens, that was kind of my my cutting my teeth years, you know,
so in bluegrass. You grew into this honest.
Yeah, I watched my dad. I'd sit around. I remember when I was a kid and just sitting watching him play the banjo. Me and my brother running around the house, and Daddy's sitting in there playing a banjo all day, and I... It was just a cool way for me to remember coming up with bluegrass around me, going to little music halls and auctions. I remember playing,
auctions.
Me and my brother playing around the auction house while he was playing bluegrass and things.
I've not talked to an awful lot of people, and no one's told me yet. Maybe I didn't ask them if they played at auction houses, but that's a new one for me.
Yeah, we did. I remember that was a highlight for my grandpa. He said, "Boys, go and play the auction." And I remember I thought I made it big, Steve, when I got to play the auction.
As long as Grandpa didn't auction you away, I guess you were ahead of the game.
Yeah, that would be a good point.
All right. Well, I knew you had some history, and I knew of the connections way back. Let's get you to, I mean, we know Third Time Out. Let's talk a little bit about, and then we want to do what to get on this new album and who you got, because I really like this band, but let's let everyone know a little bit modern day about Edgar Loudermilk and who he's played and sang with and done so well with so many great bands.
Yeah, you know, I tell a lot of people this story. I'm forever indebted. I love Rhonda Vincent to death, and she's always going to be dear to my heart, because I was playing in a regional band called Carolina Crossfire in my early 20s, and my first professional gig was with Rhonda when I was around the age of 23, and I remember she was doing auditions in Nashville, and I was at Ernest Tubb Record Shop, and I saw all these people play audition before me, and I was like the last to go, probably 10 in line, and I remember going, I was nervous as a cat, I'd never been to Nashville at all, and I went back in that last room, and I seen guys go in and out pretty quick, and I got back there, and I was the last person to audition, and I'd listened to her music, I'd got all of her records, and tried to do my homework. She told me the part I'd be singing, so I studied my harmony part and went in there, and I remember I stayed back there for a while in the room, in the back there at Ernest Tubb across from Broadway.
Yeah, sure.
So we got done, and I loaded my bass up, And she looked at me and said, "Have you ever been to the Opry?" And I said, "No, I've never been to the Opry. I've never been to Nashville." And she said, "Well, hold on a minute. I want you to follow me for a minute." And we asked him in Ernest Hill, "Could I leave my bass there?" And the guy said, "Yeah, he knew Rhonda well." So we left the bass back there in the back. And she said, "Well, come on. I want to show you something." We walked across Broadway.
Yeah.
We cut through Tootsie's, you know, right there.
Sure, yeah,
in the
sure.
back alley.
Mm-hmm.
And you're backstage right there at the Ryman. So right. we go through the back doors. And there the lady is at the desk. And she walked up and talked to her for a minute. And then she come back to me and said, "Come on, they're going to let you come in with me as my guest."
Oh, man.
So I walked backstage at the Opry, and she's going to perform. So I went in, they got kind of ready, and I'm standing there just looking around like, "What in the world am I doing here?" And my bass is across the street.
What am I doing at the Opry?
Yeah, and I'm back here backstage at the Opry, you know, and that was me and my, you know, it's so prestigious, and my papa always talked about, I always want to see the Opry. Well, here I am, and I just come up for an audition. I'm backstage, and I think I Whispering Bill walks by, and different people, and I'm sitting here looking around like, what in the world am I doing? And this is so cool. So I walk, and Darren was playing the bass that night.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
they
right.
went out center stage. And I stood there in the wings of the Opry, and I was looking up those balconies and just about trembling, just thinking, wow, this is so cool. And she walked from center stage to me there at the side of the Opry and told me, she said, "I wanted to bring you over here. I wanted you to experience this before I told you this. But the job is yours if you want it."
Oh,
and
no.
And this is the way I wanted it to start.
Oh.
And a week or two later, I was playing on the Opry with her.
Oh,
so I was,
geez.
That's how it all started for me.
Oh, well, okay.
And it's such a cool thing, you know. And Rhonda, she's a class act.
It's hard not to like her if you know her at all. It's hard. I mean, you can try, but you just can't.
Yeah.
You just can't not like her.
Yeah. And it was cool. And it was, for me, that was the start of my career. And I was there for a year or so. Got to be in a video on CMT, "I'm Not Over You." I can look back and laugh, you know, because that's been many years ago. And time just flies by, Steve, before we know it. You know, here you are, you know, 15, 20 years down the road, and it's just, it don't seem like it was yesterday. And then after that, I heard about the guy, old boy from Shenandoah. I was a big fan of him, Marty Raven.
Oh, yeah.
And in the year 2002, at the end of it, he was putting a band together, and I was a part of that first band when he came back to Bluegrass in Full Circle. And got to have many years. I was almost 5 years there with Marty and a part of about three albums with him. And I loved my days. I learned a lot from Marty Raven, such a soul singer.
Marty is
a lot about emotion and singing.
You're right, because Marty is such a, and I think I must have seen you then, because the first album that came back when Marty came back, which was big news. I saw the band, so I saw you then. I just didn't connect, but he is such a great performer on stage.
Yeah, oh gosh, he was so good, and I love Marty. He's a dear, dear friend of mine to this day, and you can't help but just you feel ever notice.
Oh, he sells every bit of it. Yeah,
he's got soul about him, and that was a cool ride. I was there for 4.5 years, almost 5 years, and then when I left Full Circle with Marty, I picked up with Russell Moore Third Time Out, of course. So I had a lot of good singing coaches through that era, going from Rhonda to Marty to Russell. I got to come up under some, I always say this about art, you know, whether it's singing, whether it's songwriting, being a part of any musical collaboration, you're absorbing music, and that's just the way I see it. You know, everything that I've come up, I'm a Led Zeppelin fan as much as anybody, too. And you can always, you know, you don't realize where you're absorbing things from musically. I'm a big swing jazz. I love jazz music. It's one reason I love my friend Jeff Autry.
Yeah, we'll talk about
swing
Jeff.
Swing influence. Mm-hmm. And I love playing that kind of music. And then I love Don Williams. I'm a huge Don Williams fan. But that's the thing about our music. You know, in bluegrass, you can hear nuances of all sorts of music.
Well, and you're
it's
right.
really cool.
You're right, Ed, because it, even initially when Bill Monroe was putting it together, he borrowed from blues and gospel music and mountain music.
All over it.
Oh, yeah. So you're just
singing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you are known, and I'll embarrass you here. Edgar is known, I believe, and all these people who snap you up. You're such a great singer, and you're such a good harmony singer that I think that anyone that's ever seen you recognizes that you can pretty much fill the bill you know, in whatever piece they want to have sung, that Edgar Loudermilk can do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. And I've been fortunate. You know, Russell Russell pulled a lot of things out of me that I didn't realize. You know, I had sung high tenor my whole life and all the parts. I understood parts. But I never sang bass until I landed with Third Time Out. Okay. He knew my range. He pulled that out of me, and I realized it made me start experimenting with my ranges, you know. And on this upcoming record, I'm singing some more low register stuff, and it made me realize to start trying to sing in different keys and stuff, and learning how to use a tone in a low register, you know. And it's been fun, and that's one of my favorite things, you know. You bring that up. Harmony singing is a huge passion of mine, and I love sitting down and listening and writing a song and thinking about harmony structures, because you have so many different styles. You know, you think about the different stacks that Osborne Brothers
totally different.
So well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, where Russell sung real high and you have two parts under him. I mm-hmm. love that stack. Mm-hmm. And of course, your traditional, where the tenor is above the lead, or you can stack two above. You know, I've experimented with many parts, many different ways. And harmony, I just love it. I love it. Has a different texture to it, every different arrangement. And every song has a, you kind of look at that song. And I think each song, when you write that tune, it has the perfect stack per each song. And you have to figure that stuff out. And that's some of my favorite things to
do,
is working those harmony arrangements out.
Of course, the song that I played that's available now is, My Kentucky Home, and the album name, we didn't get to that. I think I cut you off when I started talking about your history, but you have a new album. The song is out now. I mean, at least it's on the radio, and you're going to follow that with an album. The name of that album is what?
It's called Georgia Maple.
Okay.
And that's a song that I wrote, and I really can't wait for that song to come along too. It's a real, real cool song I wrote with a buddy of mine, Scott Mahaffey. And he's actually a pilot for Delta, and he flies. And he comes up, and we have writing sessions, and we were sitting close to my lake, at my mom's camper above our lake, and just had a really cool writing session, and we wrote that song, Georgia Maple. And I knew it would make a cool title cut. And I started thinking about the way an old maple tree, and it's coming from the perspective of an old tree, seeing a family farm and all the things
okay.
it sees through the years,
like
and watching
that.
Things come along, you know. And it'll be cool to have that song out too. But and My Kentucky Home has a lot of the same lyric content in it, you know. And I thought it was a good pick for a single, because the song Georgia Mountain Man did really well for me. It actually made it in the top 10 on mm-hmm. Bluegrass Today for songs for 2015.
Yeah,
and that was a song about the same farm that say Georgia Maple was wrote about, and it's a story of my grandpa's life in the hills of North Georgia, and me coming up and seeing all that was working. And that song was a hard driving, you know, B flat chord bluegrass. It's kind of what I grew up loving. And this song, My Kentucky Home, is real similar. You know, it's in B flat, and it's got that Osborne Brothers kind of stack harmony, and it's Third Time Out-ish, I guess, was one way I could put it.
Hey.
So. I was there with Russell, it's hard not to.
Oh, sure.
Not to be drawn to that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And either way you describe it, it's good. You're on. We talked about a lake in Jeff Autry. I'm going to get back to that in a minute. But right now you're on Pinecastle, correct?
Yeah. We just signed with Pinecastle, and this album's coming out. We met with them, and there was a lot of things with our careers lining up, and some of the things that we're unfolding right now. You know, I've got a lot of different things opening up. The band, you know, I'm still doing a few shows with Atkins and Loudermilk. We have about 14 shows left with A&L, but we're actually both focusing on our solo careers.
Yeah.
I'm now booking the Edgar Loudermilk Band featuring Jeff Autry. You brought up Jeff. Him. We've played music and been friends a long time. We were fishing and stuff way before this music, met through Wayne Benson and all of us. I feel the same about both of their brothers, too, and we're really, really close. And that's how I met Jeff. And while I was with Third Time Out, we were making music together on the side, playing a few gigs here and there. And we just had chemistry, is one easy way to put it. It was easy to play, and we started writing together. And I love him to death. He's easy to travel with, and one of my favorite guitar players.
Let's just take this for a second here. Jeff Autry, to me, and I told you this off the air, one of my all-time favorite guitar players of all kinds, of all types of music. I just think the guy's a master, and he's just real humble, and he just gets up on stage, gets that guitar up close to his chin, You know, as opposed to slinging down by his, and he just absolutely, taste and the skill that he's got and the taste and the notes that he plays. Jeff Autry is one of my all time favorite guitar players. I just, we had talked about that a little
bit. And mine too. You know, I learned so many instrumentals listening to those Fine Castle instrumental series.
Yeah.
96, 97.
Those are
and
great.
Jeff was a guitar player on.
And Wayne was on a lot of those, wasn't he?
And Wayne was too. Is Wayne Vestal and
Scotty Vestal, yeah.
Jeff, and it was just cool. And I learned a lot of those songs listening to that stuff. But one thing I noticed about Jeff, you know, in his rhythm playing, he adds so much color with chords that he plays. And I'll write a song sometimes, and me and him will be going through something, and he'll play one of those abstract chords. And I just love the way the note feels singing it, and it's like he goes with me what I'm thinking. If I feel a soulful moment and I'm singing a note in that direction, he'll compliment it. He'll hear a chord that I didn't even think of or know. You know, and here Jeff is throwing three chords.
He does. He bounces those jazz chords around, which maybe that's why I'm drawn to him so much, because you and I are both jazz fans. We just talked about that a minute ago.
We love swing music. And we've got some tunes on here. I actually put an old Bob Wills tune that's going to be on this
record.
Oh,
yeah, cool.
And it's one you probably remember. A lot of folks remember this, and I love the cut. And I've got an old friend of mine and Jeff's that's out of Alabama. His name's Paul Kirvin. And that finger-style guitar playing, Merle Travis, Chet Atkins, it's got a whole following of its own. And this guy's got a name for his. And he turned us on to this song. We sung it every time I went down there. I learned the song for him. And I wanted to include it, and it's one of my favorite cuts. And it's a song called I'll See You in My Dreams.
Oh, sure.
Bob Wills song.
Yeah, sure. Heck yeah.
And I love the melody. It's a beautiful melody. And we've got Paul taking us out with that fingerstyle guitar playing on the end of the track. And it was cool hearing that track come together and getting him included on it also.
With the current lineup then, of course, we talked about Jeff. Jeff's son is playing with you.
Yeah, he is. And like I was talking about earlier, on the Atkins and Loudermilk record, the band that was on that record is the band that I actually tour with. Because all those guys, we all live close together. And we were touring together before we started playing together as A&L. And so on the guitar, it's Jeff Autry. Mm-hmm. And then on the mandolin, we have Zach Autry, and that's Jeff's son.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Glenn Crane is playing, doing the dobro work for us. And then Chris Wade is playing banjo with us. And I'm using the banjo slot as a floating spot. I'm using Chris Wade on a good many shows this year. And then the banjo player that played on My Big Chance Tomorrow and Roads Traveled, Scott Hass, a really close friend of mine, I'm actually using him some too. So I'm rotating between those two guys on the banjo slot.
So how many, Edgar, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Edgar Loudermilk, which I'm just thrilled to do. So you're starting to book shows for Edgar Loudermilk, and you do. It is Edgar Loudermilk Band featuring Jeff Autry, correct?
That's the band.
Edgar
Loudermilk Band featuring Jeff Autry.
Yeah. So you're booking stuff
we
now.
We have been blown away on the tour dates coming in. You know, I'm playing everywhere from Sacramento, California this year to Alaska, to Litchfield, Maine, to Charlotte, Michigan, to Oklahoma, to Arkansas, to Florida. I mean, and we have about 75 dates on the books. It's been really...
No kidding.
It's been really cool, you know, because I've been on the phone and calling. Through the years, you know, you meet a lot of folks, and I really believe in a good business model behind things, too, and you have to be prepared. We've been on the phone and trying to make the connections, and I believe in art, man. I believe in coming out here, and we're original artists. We really are drawn
good.
To... writing our own music, you know, coming up with our own arrangements.
I like that. I like that.
Kind of just letting yourself be expressed through art and throw it out there and let it land and see what happens. And I love the creativity of this group. We're having fun with it. We're easy to travel with. We just actually landed a tour sponsorship.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that a minute.
Yeah, we did a private party, and this is somebody that followed Jeff around while he was with Cowan. And Jeff had been working for Greg Swift, and he's one of the largest independent trucking companies in America, and it's called Swift Enterprises. And we played his company Christmas party, and he was just blown away, and we got our heads together, and he wanted to be a part of the team with us here, and he come on to pick up our tour sponsorship, and is covering all of our road expenses.
Oh, that's huge.
And wrapped in a Chevy 3500 passenger van for us to travel in, and you know, that's a big deal for us.
That's
it
huge.
The game, because that's a big expense, you know, for us is mileage. I put on almost 70,000 miles last year.
Oh yeah, that's huge.
And to have a company to come on board and help us with those expenses.
And Edgar, yeah, and you don't have to worry about turning that nut every day just to make sure you're covering your ground. Now you can just talk about getting your art out there and not having to worry about whether you get from one place to the other and making a dollar along the way.
Yeah.
You know, that's a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
Well,
for
congratulations
us.
On that.
I can't express how thankful I am to Swift Enterprises. And they released that the other day on Bluegrass Today, and we're gonna have some photos out of the band, you know, as we're touring and stuff like that. So that's one angle of things. And then we've got a lot of going on in the production end of things. You know, I've got Edgar Loudermilk Music Productions now, and I'm actually hosting and promoting events. I've got a festival down in South Carolina called the Anderson County Bluegrass Bash that I'm a partner on.
Okay.
And we're booking that lineup. Last year we had Rhonda and Doyle and Boston Range Jr., Third Time Out, Flat Lonesome, Boxcars.
It's powerful. That's a powerful
three-day
lineup.
Event.
Oh, yeah.
And I've actually got two other festivals. We got us and Jr. on one called the J. Moore Farm Jam over in Alto, Georgia, and it's in April. And then I have a festival in Pickens, South Carolina, called the Yam Jam. And I've got Shannon Slaughter and County Clare and us and New Dixie Storm. And I've got another festival right on the brink of an announcement.
Okay. Well, don't announce it till you're ready. We'll talk about that later. Then don't jinx it just yet. Anyone out there listening can go to your website and find out where you're going to be, I guess, right?
If you go to EdgarLoudermilk.com, all the news that we've talked about today, it's all on there, everything that's going on. And I'm just so thankful. I've got so many friends in this business. You know, when you travel this many miles for a good many years, you have a lot of acquaintances and a lot of friends. You know, we got a lot of folks that we just dearly love, you know, and you meet them and you see them on a regular basis. And you realize how much people support what you're doing and how much they keep up. By seeing them, you know, and they send messages to me, knowing what's going on, you know.
That's got to make you feel good.
It does. It's humbling, you know, to see everything the way it's happened.
You know, Edgar, here's what I would suggest to anyone who wants to go to your website and follow you. What I would do is pick a city where they're going to be, and here would be my strategy. Find out if it's going to be Sacramento or what all those names you mentioned, and then find a good fishing lake the day of and go there and look for Edgar and Jeff, because I'm telling you what. You're on social media and it's like, here's Edgar today. He's got a boatload of fish, and then the next day he'll have a boatload, and it'll be a different boatload. It's like there's no fish left when this man comes through town.
Yeah, you can see what where some of our passion lies.
That's
you know,
right.
A lot of people are working on this or that. Me and Jeff spend a lot of time in a boat.
That's good,
especially crappie fishing.
That's right. Oh yeah, you were.
We love going hunting and fishing, and like I said earlier, that's what started everything for me and Jeff. We were doing that way before music, and it just kind of led in to us tying all this together. Where's the music, fishing, and everything?
Well, that would be my strategy if I wanted to find Edgar Loudermilk's band featuring Jeff Autry. I'd look at the map, I'd see what city, and I'd go find me a good fishing lake and wait there.
Yeah,
and get there early, because after Edgar and Jeff show up, there ain't gonna be no fish left.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
well, we
boy.
Just put together, man, talking about bluegrass and fishing. The thing in Alaska that I'm doing is a big workshop thing that I coordinated with a friend of mine, and it's called the Great Alaskan Fishing Pit. And all it is workshops with. I've got Alan Bobby doing the mandolin workshop, Jason Davis Jr.'s banjo player doing the banjo workshop, Jeff on guitar, and myself on bass. And
you probably won't have no time to fish up. You probably won't have no time to fish up there.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's half a day fishing trip.
That's
each
cool.
day included in
that's neat.
Combination. So
oh, that's pretty cool.
I'm excited about that trip for a couple of reasons. Workshops is one, but that fishing's high up.
No, buddy, listen. And you don't have to get on a cruise ship. You just got to get you a float a boat somewhere and wet a line. That's right. Oh, man, this is good. I'm so happy for you, Edgar. And I'll catch up to you somewhere. And when I do, I'll come up and we'll talk a little bit. And I'll get to talk to Jeff and see his son and the rest of the band. I've seen everybody, you know, as you describe it. I've seen y'all before, so I'm looking forward to the new album. So the new album, you think will come out when? We've got the single out, My Kentucky Home.
We're aiming for April, right around the first of April is when the album will have it in hand.
All right.
And The single, we wanted to let the single live for a little while, have time to absorb a little bit for a few months. And we feel good about the single and this relationship with Pinecastle. Everything's good, and we sure appreciate your help too, Steve. All the spins, and it means so much for us as artists to have the support, you know, from folks like you and your program, and it it goes a long ways. It's all part of our big picture here, ain't it? All of us love this music.
Absolutely.
We try to grow it and hold on to the longevity here.
You are correct, Ben. You bring so much history from what you described up to the present date, and you're still learning, and you're still experimenting, and you're still doing music, and you're using all that knowledge and the business knowledge. I bet you picked up some business knowledge hanging around Rhonda for a while too.
Yeah, I had some good teachers there, and you said it right, because she is a brilliant businesswoman. I love her for many reasons, but yeah, there was a lot to learn from many places. Folks like Marty and Russell. It was an evolving process.
Well, I'm happy for what I sense in your voice and the music you're doing is that you're pretty pleased with where you are right now, and I think this is going to be a good thing for you with Jeff and the rest of the band. I'm really looking forward to see it. And the new album, I can't wait to get that one too. So.
Yeah, I am. You know, musically right now, I'm as excited as I've ever been.
Good.
Where we are, and at this point in our career, everything is lined up nice, and I'm excited.
Well, listen, Edgar, don't be a stranger. We'll catch you up somewhere down the road, and we'll talk to you again. And, buddy, I wish you nothing but the best of luck, and I think you're going to do just fine with what you've got lined up coming.
Well, thank you so much, Steve, and we appreciate you.
Well, listen, you
and
take
it's
care.
It's been a pleasure to be on here with
you. Well, thank you, man. Didn't mean to cut you off. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up down the line. Thanks, Edgar Loudermilk, so much for being on Unreal Bluegrass.